Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. This is a very special episode, but as always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. So please tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a coworker, tell somebody, help me grow this thing. As usual, I started off with my milestone. And for those who don't know, I have now a five-year-old little boy. His name is Miles, thus Milestone. And today is his fifth birthday. So that's the milestone. My baby boy is five. And we are all headed up to D.C. right now to spend the night in a hotel with a pool, which he likes to do. And I'm going to get me a couple sets in D.C. But, that's the milestone. He's five. And you might be able to hear him in the back. Like I said before, we are traveling in my car right now, so the sound quality might not be the absolute best. But I don't know if you can hear the tires on the road, but we're gonna go ahead and push through and do this thing. And before I bring on my first ever guest, I was introduced to a fellow by the name of Jocko Willink. That's Jocko Willink. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. Now he's a motivational speaker. And now he consults with a lot of corporate businesses. And he'll come in and kind of help them motivate their employees and find out what leadership skills they can incorporate into their, you know, their leadership style to get people motivated. And I've listened to this dude for like 2 days, man, and it's just really motivated me and just changed my way of thinking, which is I hope I can keep it going. Like, his approach to adversity is good, you know. He has a great video on YouTube where he would say when he was a SEAL commander, all these guys would come to him and go, "Hey, we didn't get this gear." He would go, "Good, that means we can keep it simple." Or, "Hey, this thing didn't get funded." He goes, "Good, that means we have more time to train." You know, just any type of adversity or when your plans fail, he says, "Good, it's an opportunity for you to excel. It's an opportunity for you to, you know, see what you're made of." And it's very, very true. So if you get a chance, check him out. His name is Jocko Willink. And he actually has a podcast called Jocko Podcast, which I'm about to start listening to. But I listened to him on Rogan and a couple other podcasts. And I mean, the dude is amazing. I know he's not perfect. He's not infallible. But almost got into a little fender bender here with people slowing down on the highway. Sorry about that. But yeah, if you can, check him out, man. No matter your politics or how you feel about the military, he doesn't get into any politics at all, man. He's just a great guy to listen to if you're going through anything. So please check him out, Jocko Willink. I think this might have crashed on it. Oh, it's still going. All right. I thought this thing had crashed on us. All right, so you might be able to hear Miles in the back singing. So I finally have a guest. I'm pretty sure y'all know who she is. My wife Kalila, or aka Bot. Hello, Bot.
Hello. I don't get nearly the introduction as Jocko Willink.
I mean, you weren't in the Battle of Ramadi in 2006.
And I'm all about demotivation, so.
Yeah, I mean, so I finally have my first guest on the podcast. And he's five. How do you feel about his first five years of his contract?
I'm glad that we kept a whole person alive for 5 years.
Yeah, it's gone by pretty.
We did it.
We've done it so far. Yeah, I posted the picture on Instagram the first time I held him, and it just seemed like it was yesterday. I remember, you know, the labor seemed like it was forever. It seemed like he was never gonna get here, you know. Like, it just,
that's what it seemed like to you.
Yeah, it did.
It felt like
Yeah. I mean, that's just for my, because I was just, I felt for you. I like how you just, I mean, if it felt like that for me, it had to be even worse for you. Well, yeah. Jocko wouldn't have took any epidurals. He would have just said good and just pushed through.
Your cervix is tilted. Good.
He would have said good.
Take it out. Good. I would. That's what I would say too. Good. Just take it.
He would have said good. So, yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the 5 year? Like, did it go by fast?
I don't think that I feel about it how most parents feel about it. Like, it doesn't feel like it was just yesterday that he was born to me. I feel like
it's been 5 years.
I've enjoyed every single day. I mean, and I don't know. I just don't feel like it was just yesterday, because
in 10 miles, continue on to US 15 North.
All right, sorry about that.
I just feel like I'm just embraced every single day with them. So, I don't know, I love it. I know people probably think I'm obsessed with him, but I am.
It's not weird.
But there are people who are obsessed with him who have never met him.
That's weird.
Maybe some of these milestone people listening on this podcast.
Yeah. He's a great kid. It's how would you say? I mean, has it been easy, hard? I mean, how would you generalize it if you can, or how would you describe the journey?
I feel like I was made to be a mother. So
yeah, you have a vagina, okay.
I'm equipped. No, but I mean I think this is what I'm here for.
To have babies?
No. Wow. To have him.
You hear this, feminist? To have him?
to be his mother, but I mean, of course, there's ups and downs, but I think the harder part is the dynamic of your family and your relationship changing once another human is added to the picture. You know, we were together for 7 years. I mean, married for 7 years before he hit the scene. So our whole dynamic of our relationship shifted, of course.
How did it change our relationship? For the, I want to hear both sides, like for the good and bad. How did it change for the better?
For the better, I mean, I just think if you look at him, I think that he is. I mean, as corny as it might sound, he is the best part of both of us. In one little package. I just think that he's, so I mean, that's the good thing of it. We get to see, I get to see personified in another person some of the things that I may have like overlooked.
You can see your blind spots.
Yeah.
And you go, oh man, I do that. Yeah.
Well, not just that, just things that I overlooked in you that I see when he does it. I'm like, he does that just like Chris, and it's not something that I probably would have appreciated, and I just take for granted with you because we've been together for so long. But now I can appreciate that it's in him now.
Yeah. So what do you think it's done to our, you and I's, is that right? You and I's? How has it changed the dynamic between you and I?
I had to get to a point where I understood that, yes, I love this little boy and he's ours, but I think especially as a first-time mother, you get to where you put the child first. and it might be an unpopular opinion, but your child is not first. Our relationship was first. We together made this child. We have to still maintain our relationship in spite of having a child. I can't do everything for him and neglect my husband. So it took me a while to get to that place of thinking.
So how has it hurt our relationship?
Well, initially.
So how has it hurt our relationship?
Initially, I was putting him first. I don't feel like I had our priorities straight for a family as a whole. And then just kind of neglecting to take into consideration how you feel about certain things. Just different thoughts on, you wanted him to go to private school, and that's not something that I necessarily thought he had to do. And just, really not taking that into consideration and thinking, my way is the right way or right. Whatever. And that's not how a marriage really works. You have to compromise and just really understand that, yes, I want and I feel like I have his best interests in mind, but so do you. You're his dad, so you have his best interests in mind, too.
Yeah. What would you say? What would you say has been the most challenging or toughest or scariest part? I guess that's three different questions. You can pick one. What's been the most challenging? We'll go with that. The most challenging so far.
The most challenging about.
Can I answer my own question for me?
Yeah.
I think the most challenging part for me is. It's constantly changing, It's just like once you get a routine down, like, all right, I know how to change the diaper. I know how to get the bottles ready quickly. As soon as you have that timing down, that rhythm, it's just like you kind of forget they're growing, and then now they're doing something else. And then, now you got to learn this different routine all over again. And then once you get comfortable, it's like now he's walking, Now you got to get used to that. And now it's just... the goalpost is always moving, so to speak, and so you can never really settle. It's like once you feel like you got it, it's like on to the next stage. That's been one of the most challenging things. Right now, he's only five, and there's things like we don't really have to worry about like locking the internet down yet, that kind of thing. And there's gonna be a lot more challenges coming in the future. But just the fact that it's such a dynamic thing. Of parenting, so that's what's been challenging.
I love that part.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I get so excited for him, and like him starting kindergarten, I was just so excited for him to get to
ready.
Go and learn, and our family practitioner was like, he's on the younger end, and you really can wait if you want to. And and his therapist, she was saying, he is on the younger end. You're okay either way. But I'm like, no, we've been preparing. We literally have been preparing him for kindergarten and to go to school. I know he's gonna be a little younger, but he's ready. He needs this. He needs this structure. And I was excited.
In 2 miles, continue on to US 15 North.
Sorry again, folks.
Yeah. I was just excited for him. I think that the scariest part for me is where we live and the racial climate there. Right now, that's the scariest part for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of you guys know we live in Charlottesville, Virginia, where that girl was killed about three weeks ago or so. Yeah, it's just a lot of racial tension. We live in a very red county.
Very
I mean, I see, I mean, on average, 3 to 5 Confederate flags a day. I'm surrounded by camo. I mean, people are pretty, they stick to themselves for the most part, but things do happen. And it is scary, and it can be worrisome at times when you have an innocent child around ignorant people. So.
Well, and we went to a family prom, and when we came out of the family prom, that was the night of the torch wielding.
The first time, right?
Yeah. I mean, that, and my son was with me. I mean, and he's wanting to go over there because to him it's, oh, there's lights and, you know, and that happens across the street at the library I would take him to every week in the summer that I stopped taking him to. So these are things that I never thought that I would ever have to even think about when thinking about being a mom. So that's the scariest part for me.
This is weird. Like, where we live, it's like probably the furthest north and the deepest south.
Continue on to US 15 North.
At the same time, it's a really weird thing. I mean, we're only 2 hours away from DC, and I mean, where we're living at, it is
in 3.8 miles.
Okay.
Continue on to James Madison Highway.
All right, I have to turn that off. Madison, yep. So yeah, like I was saying, it's like the furthest north, but it's deep south kind of mentality, and it can be scary, but we get through it, you know. I just try to protect my family, and I just don't want my son in any weird positions, you know, people saying things to him, but I try not to dwell on it too much, but it is scary. But I think for me, the scariest thing is, because I'm a warrior, and that's something else that's been challenging too for me, is to not download my fears onto him, because I can have a lot of anxiety and all that kind of stuff, and hypochondria, and I'd never want to, you know, put that on him. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, Joe, and his therapist told him that, you know, that kind of stuff is a learned behavior, and I don't want him learning from me and watching me and becoming nervous and, you know, a hypochondriac or have anxiety. It's like he's 5. He doesn't need to be worried about anything but just being a kid.
Well, and you asked what has been hard. That has been hard just because, you know, like if Miles has a sniffle, then you'll want me to call a specialist.
Hey.
Or you'll ask me, you know, did you call a doctor? Are you going to call a doctor? I'm like,
I think
no, if he just has a cold, they're not going to give him anything. It's not anything that can be done. We just got to let it pass. So that's hard.
Yeah. I think I'm getting a little better. I just, when he was really little, I was terrified. I just felt like I know I'm not special, and terrible things happen to people and their kids and stuff, and I know I'm not exempt from that, and I guess I think about it too much, to be honest, but it's something I'm working on.
It's gotten better.
Yeah, I feel like it has. How do you feel about, now that you've been a parent for 5 years, how do you feel about the world? Like, has becoming a mom changed your outlook on the world and people and life, religion, sexuality, you know, all that kind of stuff? Because I know for me it did, because I was a pretty homophobic younger dude. I think, which is typical of somebody my age, I made comments and stuff, and I can't lie, I still joke around, but it's definitely, there's no malice in my heart or any really true bad feelings towards, you know, the LGBTQI community at all. But I'm a dude, and I say dumb things, but it definitely changed the way I look at things, and having a good friend come out to me has changed how I felt about sexuality and you know, all that kind of stuff. But what about you? How has being a parent for the last 5 years Well, I guess for you, 6 years, I mean, you carried him around for 9 months. How has it changed your outlook? Are you more skeptical? Are you more optimistic?
I just think that it makes me realize just how important it is to instill in your children that you can think differently, you can feel differently. That's fine. Other people are going to think differently, they're going to feel differently, they're going to have different beliefs, but you must be respectful. You have to be respectful. I can't tell you what to think, can't tell you how to think, I can't beat it into you, I can't church it into
beat
you.
Beat your kids!
I can't, that's not, you know, all I can do is
zoom zoom in the boom boom.
Just shake your live by example and teach you to be respectful and a positive and favorable citizen in this society. That's all I can really do. We're never gonna all agree on everything.
Very true. What about, how would you say you grew up religiously? How would you describe your religious upbringing?
My parents are pretty liberal, and they dabbled in just about some of everything. But again, my dad was a live and let live type of person, and my parents would be going to the mosque while I was getting ready to go to church by myself. They didn't condemn, they didn't, you know, they just asked me what I learned and how I could apply it to my life and how I felt, and that was that. You know, so
how do you want to raise Miles religiously? Oh boy, this is the first, folks. You're gonna witness a fight.
I wouldn't fight about that.
I
wouldn't fight him about that. Whatever he identifies, I mean, what he relates to.
I'm conflicted in it. I grew up very religious, in a very religious family, and I've done almost a 180 on religion. I don't believe in, I believe in a higher power, but I just don't believe that God is, that he cares. I don't believe.
I don't know that I think that you can believe in a higher power and worry like you worry.
Yes, I can.
I feel like, because you don't, there's no faith.
No, but because I believe I won't say a higher power. I believe in maybe a more intelligent life. Yeah, she said an alien. I'm more
inclined to
believe that there's a life form that is, I mean, a couple million years more advanced than we are, and if they came to this planet, they would be able to do so many different things. They could be and would be considered a god to us. I believe that more than Jesus and some dude up there with a beard and like gay people are bad. You're going to heaven. I just don't believe in that anymore. And it honestly blows my mind that adults believe it. But I don't dislike Christianity or religion at all. I feel like if it makes you a better person, then hey, I'm all for it. I mean, some of my good friends are Christians. My whole family is Christian. They're great people. They've evolved over the years. And Christianity definitely, in America, has evolved. It's not what it used to be when I was a kid. But it's just something I just can't believe in. But there is part of me afraid to not raise my kid religious. I feel like I should, but I don't believe in it. So why would I do that to him? Why would I put that on him? You know, try to get him to believe in something that I don't believe in. I can't do it. And I don't know. So, I mean, would you want him to go to church at some point in time? Or just, what do you?
I've taken him to church. I mean, like I said, I feel like what he responds to, what he relates to, I am all for it. That's how my parents were. And I think it worked out fine for me.
I don't know. Definitely feel like... We had sex before we got married, so... Didn't do too well there.
What is that?
Oh, old, you know, you're going downstairs, sister.
But I feel like, I mean, I will say that I definitely would rather go and be the word as opposed to go and hear the word. Like, I'd rather
word
live yeah. that.
As an, way. An embodiment.
Yeah.
An example.
You know, and that's what I try to do for him, to just be an example
right.
for him. But as far, I mean, I'm saying this now and it's recorded. But, I mean, parents get there, I guess, to a point where they're like, where they are disappointed in the way that their children think or they believe. But to me, I feel like, I want my child to use their brain and come to their own conclusions as to how they feel about, you know, I can only respect that. No, I don't want them to follow behind anybody like a sheep. No, but I want them to research and make a well-rounded decision about how they feel. It's not going to come from me. I don't want them to just do what I do because I said do it, or if this is the way it's always been. I want them to question things. I want them to determine.
Yeah, we say that now, but when he's like 15 questioning, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I guess you can respectfully challenge. I mean, but when you're a teenager, when you just think you know everything, you don't.
But I mean, you. I work with teenagers, and I had a conversation just yesterday about homosexuality.
Oh boy, here we go, folks.
And I've had more than one 16-year-old child tell me that they hate liberals, that they, you know, that they don't get a homosexuality, like what is that about? And they have some strong opinions.
Yeah, but and that's an influence from their families. And,
right.
I'm not just saying that just because I see myself as a somewhat liberal person, because you have super liberal kids too that, you know, I hate these people and Christian. It's just like, do you really, or are you just listening to your parents or your aunt or just some super liberal podcaster, or you know, it's just.
This is the time where you should be doing this. This is where you're learning. I'm glad that you feel comfortable and you feel safe enough to have this kind of dialogue with us. You know, and you are entitled to feel how you feel. But you will be respectful. That's not going to be tolerated. But you're not, if your family has been saying for your whole 15 years of life, gay is wrong, gay is not right, you're going to,
you know, liberals are still,
that's all you know. You can't ask them to play devil's advocate and the other side, and you can't get that. So if you come to my group and you feel comfortable doing that, then I welcome that. I do appreciate it because I want to hear it. So when Miles is 15 years old, I would prefer that he have these, you know, questions and he feel comfortable asking them. I don't want him to not ask because he already knows what we're going to say.
That's something I look forward to in the future with him. I guess this is a kind of a good segue to wrap it up. That's something I'm looking forward to in the future, is just having like some real discussions about some real stuff. I mean, I want by no means will Miles ever be my friend, and I hope that doesn't sound like a bad thing. I want him to be able to come and talk to me about anything, but I also want, he needs to know that dad is never his friend, but I always have his best interest in mind, and he can talk to me about anything. But that's something I'm looking forward to in the future, is having those complex discussions And I mean, maybe 10 years or 12 years from now, or in further in the future, you know, there's, I might have some antiquated thoughts about whatever social issue, and to hear him try to bring me up to speed on what's, you know, what's new, what's popping in society, to hear his take as a person who's grown up in a world completely different than mine, it's going to see how different our brains are, and I'm looking forward to having those discussions, and I hope that can keep me fresh and clean and I guess not, that's not right, just keep me in the know and what's going on, kind of an ear to the ground type thing. I want to know what's going on with, you know, in society. I don't ever want to become an older person that's just out of touch, especially if I continue to, you know, with my comedy career. I always want to be in touch with what younger people are thinking and how they view the world. And I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts and how he views the world and how he views the world that I grew up in. And that's going to be very interesting, you know, to have him ask me questions what it was like growing up in the 80s and 90s. And for me to hear from him how he felt about me or how he saw me as a child. So a little long-winded there. What about you, Bob? What are you looking forward to with Miles in the future? What type of things, whether it's conversation or, you know, events?
I look forward to every single day with him. It's always something interesting, something that makes me laugh. Sometimes there are things that make me upset. Yeah. He does not like to disappoint us at all. But I'm even looking forward to those things because they help us grow as a family, him as a person, and me as a mother. So I'm looking forward to the good and the bad.
Sweet. Well, everybody, there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on social media at Chris Allen Comedy. Bot, what's yours at Kalila's Closet on Instagram? Hey, Edward, you got friends that you're gonna put on your friends list. I mean, that you're gonna share this on your Facebook page, right?
Sure.
All right, there you go. Kalila's Closet. I'm gonna put it out there anyway. So thanks for tuning in, folks. We didn't cuss, so you can share this with anybody. No, Danielle, Mommy, and Kelly, we will not be doing this on a regular basis. I don't care how much you loved it. We're not going to do a husband-wife podcast.
No. So you can kiss. He forced me to do
my ace. See ya. Oh, I'll be at the Rogue Island Comedy Festival October 5th and 6th. I can't wait. Doug Key, thanks for having me there. And I'll be at the Albany Funny Bone in December, I believe the 13th through the 16th or something like that. But I'll get those dates. It's December. Don't worry about it. We got some great shows coming up in Charlottesville. Please go like the Charlottesville comedy page if you're listening in Charlottesville. And we're still headed to D.C. Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.